It is time for us to bring in Arthur Schwartz. It is time for the look at food that we always do with the food maven in one form or another, ladies and gentlemen. Let's bring him in, Arthur Schwartz. Good morning, Arthur.
Good morning. Good morning. Well, I don't know if the news has reached the northwest corner, but this was on the front page of the New York Times, the most ridiculous news story since Bill de Blasio was caught eating pizza with a knife and fork.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's been caught lying.
About bagels.
About bagels. So, you know, New York and bagels. So it is a big story here. In fact, I was in the car the other day, and Curtis Sliwa, who has a program on ABC here in New York, and actually it's such a strong signal you probably can get it in Sharon, too. And he was carrying on about this story. So I happen to be an insider in this story in the sense that de Blasio cited my neighborhood bagel place, which used to be his neighborhood bagel place, as his go-to bagel. So let me start with, I truly am a bagel expert. Besides that, I grew up eating bagels here in Brooklyn. I've done research on bagels. I know a lot about bagels. And I can tell a good one from a bad one. So to me, most bagels these days are really not worth eating, because even in New York. Because, well, I would say especially in New York, they have become big powder puff bagels. They are not the old-time bagel, which was a very high-gluten flour, a bread flour, a high-gluten bread flour, which, by the way, means it's got protein, baked into a small ring, not these giant rings that you see now.
Yeah.
And they are boiled and then baked. And they have a glossy, crusty exterior and a dense interior. Now, in my boyhood days, my grandfather would always, this was a ritual on Saturday. I mean, we ate bagels other days of the week sometimes, but my grandfather would come home from his half a day of work on Saturday. That was his concession to the Sabbath. He only worked a half a day. He would come home with a bag of freshly baked, still hot bagels. So that's around lunchtime, let's say 1 o'clock. By the evening, those bagels were already second best because they had firmed up. Let me say that when a bagel cools down, it gets firmer. And if you're a little boy and you want to eat bagels and you don't want to chew a lot, as little boys don't want to, you really love those hot bagels. And by the way, the stores that bake them would have a sign in the window that said hot bagels. That was for a reason. You wanted a hot bagel. And because once a good old-fashioned high-gluten bagel cooled down, it was maybe unpleasantly firm. So at the end of the day, you would stick these bagels back in the oven. I still do this. I buy my bagels, if I buy my bagels in the morning, and when they're hot, and I eat one then, and then there are some left over, as they inevitably are, because I always buy too many, I want to eat it at night, I would put it in the oven right on the rack just for a few minutes at 350 degrees, just to heat it through, not to rebake it. And that's it. The next day, those bagels would be so firm and so unpleasant that the only way to salvage this very tasty bread was to toast it. So second days, you might toast a bagel. You might also throw it away. But, you know, in the days in the 50s when I was a boy and everything was frozen, so my mother would freeze bagels. We had leftover bagels. And those bagels you had to revive in the oven. By the way, there was a joke in the family that my mother froze everything. She would even freeze my father if for future use if she could. So
it's funny listening to you because I remember when I was a kid, and it was funny when you mentioned having bagels. You're right. On the day we got the bagels, it was cream cheese. My grandmother used to get everybody mad. She used to put jam and jelly on the bagel. But the second and third days is when we had toasted bagels.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, bring in Bill de Blasio.
Please.
This story is to me is just indicative of how almost nobody in New York City likes Bill de Blasio. It's good that he doesn't have another. He can't run for another. Maybe he can. Remember, Bloomberg changed the law, changed our charter to so he could run for a third term. I'm not sure if de Blasio knows he wouldn't win. Anyway, so I think it was National Bagel Day. Is that possible? You keep track of these things.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know, last week. And he was asked, you know, what's his go-to bagel? And he said, the Bagel Hole in Park Slope. The Bagel Hole is my bagel bakery. It's on 7th Avenue and I guess that's 13th Street in Park Slope. It's a quiet end of Park Slope. It's just to give you a sight you might want to see. To me, it's a sight. Across the street from the Bagel Hole is the old clock factory. Oh, now I'm forgetting the name of the clock factory. But anyway, it was one of the first, industrial conversions. It's now cooperative, or I think cooperative apartments, not condominium. But anyway, so the Bagel Hole is a hole. It's a slender little store. You walk in, there are refrigerated cases on the right where you can buy Philadelphia cream cheese. By the way, Marshall.
Yes.
Philadelphia cream cheese was not branded cream cheese until 1928. And it was not put on bagels in the beginning at all. How I know this is that I interviewed one of the Russ Daughters. You know, it's Russ and Daughters is the name of the still appetizing store. I know, by the way, the fourth or fifth generation is now running it. But the second generation were the daughters. It was Russ, and he didn't have any sons, so it was Russ and Daughters. So I interviewed one of the daughters when she was like 90-ish. She just died like a couple, 3 years ago in her mid-late 90s. And she said, we never carried bagels in the store because people didn't eat their lox and cream cheese on a bagel. They ate lox and cream cheese on black bread, on sour rye bread, which we call cornbread. They did not eat it on bagels. Only later, in the 40s, did we start carrying bagels in the store. And who popularized the bagel and lox with cream cheese was Al Jolson, who had a radio show. And in 1932, 4 years after, I'm forgetting his name, the man who bought the rights to this cream cheese and called it Philadelphia cream cheese, and put it in that foil package. By the way, in Italy, I'm sure in other parts of Europe as well, they don't call it cream cheese. They call it Philadelphia. So that's how it's synonymous with cream cheese. So anyway, 4 years after it became the brand, Philadelphia, Mr. Kraft, who owns Philadelphia cream cheese at this point, said to Al Jolson, whose radio program he sponsored, in those days, and still to this day, I think, you know, I used to do it myself on WOR, you segue into commercials by incorporating them somehow into the texture of the show. So they used to do this in the old days. If you ever watch old Jack Benny's, which do run on TV these days, you'll see. On Jack Benny, the commercials always sort of erupted out of the storyline. So that's Al Jolson wrote a song called Bagels and Yachts, and with cream cheese, of course. And that's what popularized bagels, lox, and cream cheese. So Bill de Blasio mentions that his favorite bagel is a whole wheat bagel toasted with cream cheese. This has caused such an uproar. People are saying, oh, you should never toast a bagel. Well, as I just outlined, there are times when you want to toast a bagel. But, and if you go on Yelp and look up the Bagel Hole, you'll find there are complaints that there are no tables and chairs, there's no cafe, there's no service. This is a bagel bakery. It is not a cafe. It is not a coffee shop. And they don't have a toaster. They just sell bagels.
Bagels, that's right.
And de Blasio says his favorite bagel is a whole wheat bagel toasted. And they don't even have a toaster. So his memory is terrible, or he lies, maybe both. He did used to live, like, right down the block from the bagel hole. So there's no doubt that that would be his favorite bagel bakery. Although since he's become mayor, I think a couple of two other bagel bakeries have opened in the neighborhood. But bagel, when I first moved here 22 years ago, a friend who lived in the neighborhood already for a long time said, and I was still on WOR, he said, I'm going to tell you where the best bagel in New York is, but you're not allowed to talk about it on the radio. And it was the Bagel Hole. So I became friendly with the owner of the Bagel Hole. His name is Phil Romanzi. He's Italian-American. And people ask him all the time, what's an Italian-American guy doing making bagels in Brooklyn? And he says, well, my wife and children are Jewish. So he said, yeah, he's married to a Jewish woman, and his kids are, I don't think they're very observant, but I don't want to go there. But he does have one son who has become famous. I don't know how old the son is. He's probably early 20s, maybe even just 20 or so. And he was on this show, So You Think You Can Dance? Is that what it's called?
Something like that, yeah.
And he did well. And he became a very in-demand choreographer teacher. And I do believe he's performing in Europe now. And when this story broke about Bill de Blasio and the Bagel Hole, I was thrilled for Phil because there were pictures of his store, there were quotes from him, and he's a very modest, quiet guy. He doesn't joke around, except to tell that one joke, and you know, about his wife and kids. But he was in Europe. Nobody in the news story said why he was in Europe, but I'm guessing, and I haven't been by the store to ask him. You know, because he never leaves the store. One of the reasons that the Bagel Hole bagels are so good is that every one of them is made by Phil Romanzi. I mean, he has a couple of assistants, but every time I go in the store, he's behind the baking bench forming bagels, or in the back by the oven pulling bagels out, or boiling bagels. He's in the back there making bagels. And in fact, there was a documentary. Well, it never really happened, but there was a documentary about bagels that I participated in, and we went to Phil to find out how to make a good old-fashioned bagel. So they're smaller than the ones you find in the major locations in Manhattan. They are crustier. They're quite dense. And truthfully, they're not to everybody's taste, because everybody's taste has been formed by way softer, way less crunchy bagels. Curtis Leawood did not take this thing. I mean, he made it into a real burlesque. But his sidekick, Juliet, I don't know her last name, she said, oh, I always pull out the interior of the bagel. And he said, why? Are you watching your carbs? And she says, no, because then it can be crust, then it's crustier. Well, if she's looking for crust, come to the Bagel Hole. So I swear by Bagel Hole bakeries, but a very nice person who's trying to bring back old-fashioned appetizing stores, Peter Shelsky, has opened a bagel bakery on 4th, also in Park Slope, but on the very edge, 4th Avenue and 10th Street. That used to be a nowhere place, but there are so many luxury mid-size or mid-rise buildings going up along 4th Avenue. It has changed dramatically, and I think Peter is probably at the forefront of the new stores and restaurants and cafes that will indubitably open along 4th Avenue. So I like Peter's bagel a lot, and I don't usually go into a bagel bakery for a sandwich or for whatever, you know, a meal. Generally, I'm just shopping for a bagel, and I do all the rest of it at home. Peter's Bagel Bakery really is a sandwich shop, which brings me to, should you eat a sandwich on a bagel? This is up to you. And by the way, whatever kind of bagel you like, that's fine with me. I'm not being judgmental about your taste in bagels. For instance, my partner here, Mr. Harned, likes a cinnamon raisin bagel, which to me is not a bagel. It's like cake.
Yeah.
Chelsky's makes a particularly good one, by the way, if that's what you're after. It's rather sweet and has a lot of raisins in it. I think Phil Romanzi makes them reluctantly, but he does them very well at the Bagel Hole. And to me, the classic bagel is either a plain bagel, a sesame bagel, although they put more sesame seeds on bagels these days than they used to. Not that I'm complaining. A poppy seed bagel, garlic bagel, onion bagel. Now, everything bagel, which has everything, and salt bagel, which I shouldn't eat, but I do. If I figure if I'm having a bagel already, which is a treat, I can have it a super treat and have it with salt. Now, some everything bagels have salt in them and some don't, I've discovered. But the everything bagel is a relatively newfangled thing. I don't know if you remember them from your childhood, but I don't.
No, I don't. I don't.
No. So, I don't know. Sandwiches and bagels. Cream cheese, of course. But I tend to eat it open-faced. I don't like to bite into both halves of a bagel with some cream cheese in the middle. And by the way, this is sad, but I have seen people order toasted bagels with cream cheese. I always think that's a bad idea. The cream cheese melts, and I don't want melted cream cheese. It's one cheese I don't want melted. I like other cheeses, hard cheese melted, but not cream cheese. So to me, it's not a New York thing either. A toasted bagel with cream cheese only the second day. And then, wait till the bagel cools. And then you eat it open-faced.
The best thing to put on a toasted bagel, I'm sorry, is butter.
I totally agree with you. I don't want cream cheese. I want butter. And good butter.
Yeah.
This is a case for really good butter, for splurging on butter, which I see people are doing. Footnote, Irish butter tastes better in Ireland. So, even though it's Kerrygold is everywhere now. So that was the bagel controversy. So I actually called in to Curtis, but he didn't really want to hear facts. So, if anybody heard me,
do you remember?
I apologize for that.
Do you remember when water bagels became a big thing?
Well, they are water bagels. Yeah. Are water bagels.
Yeah.
So the word water bagel is to differentiate them from egg bagels,
yeah.
Which is, I never really quite understood what egg bagels are. I have to ask Phil when I go in there. But to me, that wasn't a real bagel either. It's a soft, because it has eggs in it. It's a softer kind of bread.
It's
a little yellow. Of course,
to me, it's
got egg
like,
or some egg powder or something in it.
It's like a hard roll gone rogue.
But to me, a water bagel is a bagel. It's a regular bagel.
Yeah, but I
regular
didn't
bagels are not made with milk or eggs. They're just made with flour and water and yeast.
I just never knew why they came up with the term water bagel. Because when somebody said you got to try these water bagels, I said it's great. But it's like
a bagel.
When I lived in Kingston, it's a bagel. It's not a
Kingston.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that was not a hotbed of Jewry.
No.
So I lived in a community that we were laughing about this the other day because let me bring this brings me to I was in the New York Times Magazine yesterday, talking about being interviewed by Sam Sifton about a sandwich that became a big deal in Brooklyn in the 1950s and 60s, and that was created in the Catskills. And you may remember this because you're a Catskills boy. It was a Chinese roast pork, otherwise known as char siu, Chinese roast pork on Italian garlic bread with duck sauce and sometimes Chinese mustard. You remember this sandwich?
No.
It was invented at Herbie's Delicatessen. Herbie's was a deli in Locksheldrake. And that it was a deli that the celebrities used to go to after their gigs at the hotels. Stephen Eady, Buddy Hackett, Shecky Green, Henny Youngman. They all worked up there. And other people, of course, flocked to Herbie's because of the celebrities. Maybe the food was great, too. I never read any reviews of Herbie's, although I have looked for them. There is, I believe, there's a mention of Herbie's in Alan King's book. Is salami and eggs better than sex? That's the title of the book. Is salami and eggs better than sex? So you have to read the book to get the joke. Unfortunate title, I thought. In any case, Herbie's invented this sandwich, Chinese roast pork on garlic bread with duck sauce, when duck sauce was an apricot-based. I'll get to that in a sec. And it became popular among the regular people who, when they got home to Brooklyn, or probably Queens too, but I know it was in Brooklyn, asked to get it at these family kind of restaurants that we had. Martin's and Senior's were the two in Sheepshead Bay on Nostrand Avenue, the main drag, and they weren't really diners. They were better than diners, but it was a kind of like Junior's is today. They were like Junior's is today. Junior's is of that ilk and of that era, by the way. And they made this sandwich. Some diners picked up the sandwich. Then as the Brooklynites migrated to Long Island, the sandwich went with them. And it's made still, and I know that there's one diner in Oceanside because Sam Sifton cites it in the story. And then there's another diner here in Brooklyn, in my old neighborhood, on Flappish Avenue and Avenue R, and it's called the New Floridian. So, of course, I had to go to the New Floridian. I knew about that Sam had discovered the New Floridian, still served it before the story came out. So I went to the New Floridian, and the sandwich was unrecognizable. It was disgusting. Do not order it. But I'm going to make it because now my mouth is watering for it after reading Sam's story. I have to say, Sam gave me 2-3 very nice quotes and mentioned my book, Arthur Schwartz's Jewish Home Cooking, Yiddish Recipes Revisited, because there is a discussion of this sandwich and a recipe for it in the book. By the way, this sandwich became kosher, and the kosher community picked up on it using, and of course not with pork, with a product that I think I'm sure you can still buy in a kosher supermarket. It's red roasted veal. So it's an imitation of Chinese roast pork made with veal. It's not the same. It may actually be better than what they were serving, however. Did I mention the name of the diner on Flappish Avenue? It's called the New Floridian. I laughed at this New Floridian. I only remember the Floridian. So I said, it was there when I was a kid. So, really 10 blocks away from my house. So I asked the waitress, what makes it the New Floridian? And she said, they redid the place in the early 1970s. She says, can't you tell by the colors, mauve and pink?
80s, 90s, thousands.
Well, this was 70s.
Yeah. Right, so we're talking 40-some-odd years.
That's why it became the New Floridian Diner. Anyway, it was horrible, but if you can get... So Sam got the whole story from me, I have to say. He gave me a few nice quotes, but truly all the facts in there are from me and from my book. And although I did not know that the New Floridian still served this sandwich, and he gives a recipe for making your own char siu, which maybe one day I will do. But as he points out, he gives it up because not everybody lives near a Chinese roast shop, but I happen to live near a Chinese roast shop, more than one.
How is
so,
the recipe?
I can just go to the store and buy the char siu, and then you make your old-fashioned kind of Italian garlic bread, meaning a hero type loaf, with spread with garlic butter and then toasted at Herbie's in Loch Sheldrake. I'm sure they used club bread. Does anybody remember club bread? It was you could always get your delicatessen sandwiches on rye or club, and club was a long loaf, not very crusty. More or less, it was soft enough to be a sandwich bread, so I admire that part of it. I'm not sure I like garlic bread on it. I might upgrade the bread in my sandwich here. And so anyway, Herbie's became such a popular place in the Catskills that he opened a place in Brooklyn. And my sister's Sweet 16 party was at the at Herbie's International, which was on Avenue N in Flatlands, which is very close. It's just the other side of Flatbush Avenue from where I lived. And I asked my sister the other day if she remembered what they said. International in those days was you had a few Jewish dishes, you had some Chinese dishes, and you had Italian dishes. And nothing was kosher. Well, obviously, Herbie's pork sandwich was not kosher. So, yeah. But my sister could not remember. However, I had lunch with my cousin yesterday. She's the same age as my sister. I said, "Weren't you must have been at Andrea's Sweet 16. She said, "Oh, absolutely. And I even remember the menu."
That's funny.
Isn't that funny? So, yeah, because we couldn't remember. And it was Italian. We had an Italian meal for my sister's Sweet 16 party at Herbie's International, which was a Jewish deli.
And probably right around a similar year to that, my mother had for us in Buffalo an Italian. We played Pin the Pizza on the Pepperoni. We had Pin the Pepperoni on the Pizza. I mean, you know, she had us all dressed, you know, that because that was international. We were big spaghetti, you know. Pasta.
Oh, that was international. So, yeah.
Right.
So as because we only knew three kinds of, really.
Yeah. Chinese.
You know, the Chinese, Italian, and a Jewish deli.
Right. Regular.
We didn't even have, like, full-fledged Jewish restaurants.
No.
In my part of Brooklyn, anyway. I think you had to go. My grandfather worked in a full-fledged kosher Jewish restaurant. But by the time, in the early 50s, it was called the Little Oriental because Oriental meant Romanian and Hungarian.
So I have a quick question because I'm looking at this article and I'm looking at the recipe for this.
Yeah.
And I'm most entranced by the every single picture has a photo credit and a food styling credit and a prop styling credit, which just makes me want to stick pins in my eyes.
Why?
But because it looks. It looks ambitious.
Only if you make your own pork.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, otherwise it's just
step 12.
I would buy the pork.
Right. Okay.
And I would make garlic bread, and there you go.
Okay.
So the duck sauce is a big issue for me, because you know it's those packets of stuff they send you with takeout food.
Yeah, I was never much for that stuff.
Well, many, many moons ago, it was actually apricot-based. Nowadays, it's just syrup.
Yeah.
And there's some apricot element in it. I read the ingredients recently. On the
anything
pack.
Real?
But, pardon me?
I said anything real in it?
Well,
in the packet?
You know, it's high fructose corn syrup.
Yeah.
So anyway, there's a product like called it's duck sauce called Saucy Susan. Now I haven't poked around in kosher kitchens much lately, but when I was doing that, I found that people had enormous jars of Saucy Susan, which is this quote duck sauce because it was meant to be eaten with duck, not because there's duck in it, and they used it willy nilly. Let's just say, on chicken, it's parv. It goes any which way. So if you wanted something sweet, you put this on. So Sam Sifton came up with the good idea. I'm going to try this next time I have a need for duck sauce, not very often. Just stirring some vinegar into apricot preserves. I'm sure it's vastly better. And I must say, every once in a while, I do want to have a dab of this on an egg roll. I do love egg rolls. So that's about my only place I would put it. But I have to find out from some kosher friends if the kosher community is still... I'm going to look in the supermarket and see what Saucy Susan looks like these days.
You know, it's funny you mentioned all this. We only have a minute left, but my father used to make a seat at the end of a Chinese restaurant. I forget where we went in New York City. Kumquats.
I love kumquats.
I know. But you don't see them in Chinese. Nobody asked for Chinese restaurant. That was the dessert. Yeah, kumquats.
No, not you know what? They're so expensive these days. I almost bought kumquats the other day. They look so. I love kumquats, and you eat the whole thing.
Yeah.
You eat the rind and everything. So they're a little bit bitter, but I like bitter. They were $9 a pound, so I passed on the kumquats. I only remember back to my 3 month stay in Salerno, where I was living in my friend's citrus grove, and I used to go out the front door and pick kumquats right off the bush and eat them.
All right. Well,
anyway, I do want to make this sandwich, and I will make the sandwich, and I'll report on what I did.
All right.
But I got to find the right bread.
Okay.
Well, so anyway, happy
club bread.
I don't know what one says on Martin Luther King's birthday.
You say have an elevating Martin Luther King's birthday.
Oh, that's a good word.
There you go.
So everybody have an elevating Martin Luther King's birthday.
All right. Speak to you next week, Arthur.
Thank you.
Take care.
That is Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, here on Robin Hood Radio.